Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today, for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our guest is Don Cooper, our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust. Don Cooper is the president of Don Cooper & Company. He's the co-author of The 32nd Commute. He's the guy who helps companies large and small understand the relationship between excellent customer service and the kind of sales revenue that you'd like to have. And he's our good friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be back, as always.
I enjoyed seeing you last week when I was in Denver, and we shared a meal, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed seeing you out there.
Yeah, you need to get back out here more often.
I know it. I'll have to come back out there more. You're right about that. Don, what's obviously, you know, when I say a connection between customer service and sales, I get the feeling that some people are saying, well, duh, of course there's a connection. But what we say, what we think is intuitive, and how intuitive or not it is to convert that into execution are two different things, isn't it?
You're absolutely correct. People sometimes kind of understand that both things are important, but they're important in very different ways. And too many companies put a lot of emphasis on sales and see the sales department or the sales team as revenue generating. And they see customer service as sort of a necessary evil. They have to have it, and so they do it. But they don't like it, and as a result, they don't put much in the way of support or money or experience into it, and they see the customer service side as a revenue loser, and so it gets treated that way.
Do you think they see it that they have that attitude because when they think of customer service, that means something went wrong, and they don't like dealing with things that are wrong?
That's part of it. Another part is that it's really easy to see the direct link between your sales force and your sales. There's a very obvious correlation there. But the link between customer service and sales is hidden. It's invisible. And unless you're really tracking where your sales are coming from and how your customer service influences sales, you won't see the link. And that's a problem for too many companies. Because
so what you're saying, is to lead off of our last guest who talked about the advent of wireless capability. What you're saying is that the connection between sales and your success is wired, is hardwired, and the direction and the connection between customer service and your success is wireless.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Because it's very clear to see the one link but not the other.
And here's something that might, if we could use the same analogy to take it one step further, Don. My technology expert, Bill Hallal, says the future is wireless.
Yep.
So is the future customer service?
I think it's been the past, the present, and the future. People like to work with companies that take care of them, that make them feel important, that help resolve their problems quickly, easily, and they will reward those companies with a lot of loyalty. The company with the number one profits, not sales, but profits per square foot, is Nordstrom, a company that is well known for taking care of their customers. They charge outrageous prices for a pair of jeans or a pair of shoes or anything. People happily pay it because the service is so phenomenal. Nordstrom doesn't do much marketing. People just know about Nordstrom. They go there. It's got a reputation.
Well, but they also don't try to be all things to all people, do they?
No, they don't.
They know that everybody who's walking around out there isn't a prospect for them.
Precisely. But once you've bought something from Nordstrom, you become their customer and you become part of their family. And even before you buy something from them, if you're interested in buying something, they will help you make it happen. Doesn't matter if they have to call another store, ship it in from somewhere else around the country. Doesn't matter if they have to call a competitor to get what you want. Nordstrom will do it. And that kind of service that brings customers back to Nordstrom again and again and again.
Well, and you know, we've gone places and shopped at stores that had multiple branches, and they didn't have what we wanted, and we would actually say, well, is it available in one of the other stores? And they would check, perhaps, and they'd say, yes, it is, and they'd tell us about a store in another state, and that was the end of the conversation. Then I've gone to other places where they said, you know, I don't have this, but hang on just a minute. Let me see if they have one, you know, somewhere else. And they check it, and it'd be, you know, three states away. And they'd say, I can have this shipped to your home or your office in about 3 days. Would you like for me to do that?
Yeah. And I've had exactly that type of experience at Nordstrom. And that's
and
why
the thing
people
is,
go there
is the
and
person,
pay those prices.
The person who offered to do that, didn't benefit them. They didn't lose any, you know, they weren't on commission probably, so it didn't cost them a sale necessarily, but they had been trained to make sure that I got whatever I needed if their company had it.
Yes, it's part of the culture. And that's what's so important for a lot of small business owners to recognize, is that great customer service starts at the top. Everybody in an organization is responsible for providing good customer service. And the number one person is the owner.
So, and you know,
it's the people
in
your audience that are the number one people in their company. Mm-hmm. If you're the owner, you are in charge. And that goes for your employees, that goes for your customers, goes for everybody. You are the one that sets the tone, sets the standard.
Mm-hmm. You know, Don, I like to make this quote, give out this quote that I heard probably 15 years ago. I was talking to the president of a state's banking association, the trade group for banks in that state. He was the leader of it, and he said this. He said, I believe that if my bank members would take care of all the financial requirements of their customers, their existing customers, they wouldn't need a new customer for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to connect that to what you're talking about, almost all of that that business from those existing customers is going to come from a customer service connection, probably not a sales connection.
Exactly. That's precisely correct. There's so much value in each customer, and most companies ignore that value. They see the first transaction and then don't realize that in order to get all the other transactions, that's depending on their customer service.
Absolutely. Stand by, Don. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about who should you train to be in sales in your organization. Don's going to help us with that. Don Cooper is our guest, and he and I will be right back. It's 20 after. Stay with us.
She was a bebop baby.
We're back. It's Power. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Don Cooper. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and Don is all over our website. His archives of past shows that he's done with us, articles, lots of things that you can find there. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out our blog. Don't forget all the other things you can do there, including our Brain Trust members are there. Over 500 of those folks. And Don Cooper is a very valuable member of our Brain Trust. Don, give us your website, please.
www.doncooper.com.
All right.
Nice and simple.
There you go. Don, when I used to do sales training years and years ago, I'd go to a whatever company or a bank I was dealing with. I had one requirement primarily, and that was that they gave me everybody in the company. In other words, they'd call me and say, I want you to train my salespeople. And I say, I will, but only on one condition. They said, what? And I said, that is that I train everybody in your company. It won't cost you any more. I didn't charge them more for those people. But I said, I want the CEO and I want the courier and everybody in between. And that's what I did. I made sure that even, you know, for example, banks, had the idea that only their loan officers need to be taught how to sell.
Right.
And I said, well, let me ask you a question. How many customers do your loan officers see in a given day? And they said, oh, maybe 10 or 12. And I said, well, how many people do your tellers see in a given day? And they said, oh, maybe 60 to 80.
Ding, 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 ding. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a big problem for employers, for owners. They don't recognize that the people on the ground, people on the front line, are responsible for a lot of the sales, even though their job description is not salesperson.
Including the receptionist.
Precisely, including the people in the accounting department. That provide nothing but internal customer service. That is to say, service to people in the organization. When I do customer service training for an organization, I'll insist on the same thing you just said, that everybody be there. Because even employees that don't directly interact with the customer have a very strong, a very significant indirect impact on the customer via their interactions with other people in the company. And one thing that I will do when working with a company on a customer service issue is I'll do some team building exercises to illustrate how every single person in the organization depends on everybody else to do their job in order to please the customer. And that is revelatory for a lot of companies. It's very eye-opening when people realize that in order for the customer to be served properly, everybody is critical in the process.
You know, one of my the coolest experiences I've ever had in a grocery store was I was in the seafood department and the meat department, and I asked the lady behind the counter where something else was. I said, "Where is a?" It was like a canned good or something like that. I've forgotten what I asked her about, but it was obviously not part of her world. She said, "Yes, I know where that is. Just a minute." And she walked around the counter and almost took me by the hand, walked me four or five aisles over, down the aisle, and put me right in front of it. She said, "There it is, right there." Now, she could have just said, "Oh, yeah, aisle five."
Right.
But she took me to that can. Let me tell you something. I went back I continue to buy from that store.
There is a hardware store in Boulder, Colorado, called McGuckin's, that takes that approach with all of their staff. And every employee knows where everything is, and they will take you by the hand, lead you to where in the store whatever you need is. And they'll find it for you. They'll get it for you. They're basically a whole staff of concierges that roam the store in green aprons. And that's why Lowe's and Home Depot and other place giants haven't been able to make inroads, because their service is so phenomenal.
Don, you have something you call the magic customer service question.
Yeah, it's a way to go beyond simply, how are we doing? Because when you ask that question, too often you get the response, fine. And fine is the worst thing your customers can say, because fine doesn't mean anything. Fine means, well, you didn't really piss me off all that much.
So
that
far.
That doesn't help. But the question that you can ask, and I got this from a hotel that I was staying at a couple of years ago down in Tampa, Florida. I had some room service, and the meal was okay. It wasn't great. And I called down to have them pick up the tray, and the woman asked me, you know, how was everything? I said, fine. And it was. It was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was fine. And she asked me a question. She said, is there anything we could have done differently?
Wow.
That's a different question.
Wow.
So I said, well, now that you mention it, and I mentioned what was, you know, not great about the meal, and she said, well, thank you for telling me that. I will make sure the kitchen knows that. I'll alert them to that, so I'll make sure that doesn't happen again. And your meal will be on the house. That blew me away.
Yeah.
And that was a critical piece of information that she got from me. She would never have gotten had she asked the ordinary questions. But asking that one, what I call the magic question, is there anything else we could have done differently?
Or better.
Or better. That solicits information that a business can really use.
So now, folks, you have the magic question. I expect you to use that this week and all the weeks in your future. Don Cooper, give us your website again, please.
DonCooper.com.
Thank you for being here, Don. Thank you for the magic that you always bring us.
My pleasure, Jim.
And we'll see you next time. Cooper, please. DonCooper.com is his website, and his book is The 30-Second Commute. I encourage you to check it out as well. Quick break, right back with our good friend Barbara Weltman, the lovely...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.